There are different types of hospital designs involved in it. Diffuse type of hospital design, basically it is found in small towns, basically tier 2 and tier 3 cities, which are individual department in separate main buildings without any interconnections of the corridors. The examples are basically having a teaching hospital and a district civil hospital. So the teaching hospital basically has a teaching unit where classrooms, their students' hostels, their students' areas, cafeterias, the students' lectures room, practicals rooms are been designated. Whereas the civil hospitals are a different hospitals which would have the patient integrated into it. The people travel from the teaching area to the hospital for a short distance, probably 100 to 200 meters away from the main hospital site itself. There are departments like chest, TB, obstetric, gynec, psychiatric, radiology, skin, and urology department, which would be in distinct department. Why exactly it would be in distinct buildings is basically because when we talk about chest or a TB, these are highly infectious, so they would have a different protocols involved. Obstetric and gynec requirements are different. People coming in there would be having a different sections out there where a pregnant lady won't be able to travel, climb a staircase. Pregnant lady during emergencies won't be able to travel a distance. So this has to be proximity to the entry and exit point of the hospital. Psychiatric department has to be away from the main area because people in the psychiatric wards would be, the noise in the psychiatric ward would be more chaotic, would be disturbing to the rest of the population. Radiology department has to be separated out as there are some norms involved into radiology. Skin and urology department has different norms because of the infections and all other possibilities of infection carrying or passing through the air. So this basically differentiation of each department and each norms considered in, are been considered during planning of the infrastructure of the hospital. There are government medical college and hospitals which often see this differentiation been held and been practiced inside the government hospital. As there is a land which has been acquired and probably government designate these areas, or there are some separate hospitals involved into it. The classical example of it in Mumbai basically is Kasturba Medical Hospital and College, which has skin as the priority and the infectious disease as the priority seen inside the hospital. Whereas Shivri Chest and Tuberculosis Hospital is the classic example of having a separate unit or a department considered only for the tuberculosis patient. Utilization of separate building and specialized service allows the focused care for the patient basically. Vertical and compact hospital building. What are the advantages of vertical and compact hospital building? In densely populated areas, basically it is a challenge to have a compact or a structure which would involve, which would have a smaller space. So the vertical structures proves a vital aspects to it. The facilities present inside the hospital basically proves gains a lot more importance out there, because during a in a vertical or a compact hospital building, the transportation for different facilities become a prime importance, where lift acts as a facility transporter for this area. As this vertical and compact hospital buildings would prove as a cost effectiveness, also it would adhere to government norms. As we speak, the different sections, basically when we discussed about which exactly there should be different sections for chest, infections, urology, skin, psychiatry. So in a vertical structure, each floor could be designated into different sections or different verticals of the departments. So it enables cost effectiveness, adhering to the government regulations also, and floor space index also. It enables the centralized air conditioning, so it reduces the electricity cost, as well as providing all the facilities in one area itself, as well as the water consumption. The locations such as Mumbai and Delhi adhere to this kind of vertical and compact hospital building structures. There's also better control of housekeeping. Manpower requirements become less due to having a vertical and compact hospital building structure involved into it. So the manpower could actually travel from one floor to another and provide services to multiple floors at a time. There are some additional hospital building and residential campus requirements inside the hospital, which are mostly 200 to 400 bedded hospitals. So most of the hospitals provides accommodation for various medical staffs depending on the categories within the hospital campus. The examples are like there are some doctor's quarters, there are students' quarters, there are nursing quarters. Non-medical staffs may also have their designated quarters out there. There's offer a on-site housing, better staff facility availability. Now, why exactly this staff availability factor is involved into it? If there are quarters for doctors, medical, non-medical staff, nursing quarters, so the requirement of hospital is 24/7. So the hospital staff also requires to be present inside the hospital 24/7. There's often a manpower shortage happening due to absenteeism if there are no accommodation provided inside the hospital due to various reasons. It might be calamities, it might be government authorities failure for transportations, there would be strikes, any other natural causes basically, which adheres to people not able to attend the workplace. This basically solves the norm where the quarters are being provided inside the hospitals. The manpower could be arranged easily. So there is no manpower shortage in any department at any particular point. And the medical emergencies at the time of mass casualties or mass destructions actually could be tackled in a different way when there is a hospital accommodations provided. Community recreation facilities. These are basically the additional facilities, and this proves as an essential or a USP for a hospital in a corporate structure as well as in a government structure, which would combine into different sections, like a small shopping center within the hospital campus, like facilities like hairdresser or parlor inside the hospital, stalls of newspaper or books for recreation of the patient attendees. What exactly this gives as an additional benefit? It gives an enhanced patient and staff experience with diverse amenities inside the hospital. It provides a sense of community within the hospital and caters to various needs, fostering to supporting the environment. Dharmshala or Atithi Nivas. Basically, the residential facility available for the attendance. There are many people who are coming from a distant or rural areas to the main or secondary or tertiary care hospitals, where people travel long distance. People are required to stay along with the patients. These are called as attendants. Taking care of attendants is outright important for a hospital, as hospitals image or probably the hospital's knowledge about how exactly hospital is been functioning and the mouthpiece or mouth marketing which is happening out there, mouth-to-mouth marketing which is happening out there, depends on how exactly the facilities are being provided to the patient's relative. So it would be actually the Dharmashila or Atithi Nivas would be actually present inside the hospital or could be near to the hospital, basically at the short walking distance. This would offer a single rooms depending on the requirement or probably dormitory type accommodation with centralized facilities. Taking all this into consideration and norms and whatever features or there are different departments, different sections of the hospitals, which are very critical, Then too, there has to be some plan to manage the disaster which may or may not happen inside the hospital. But considering this disaster into place, there are different committees which have been formed. So there is one committee which is called as Disaster Management Committee, which is a crucial committee inside the hospital. Administrative division actually considers this Disaster Management Committee as a crucial aspect to tackle any kind of disaster happening inside the hospital. Some emergencies like fire or a short circuit basically happening inside the hospital could be dealt in a proper way. There is a proper training which has been given to them. There is a proper fire measures which have been taken into consideration. There's an evacuation plan which has been generated beforehand, and there is a proper training, field training, which is happening on a periodic basis inside the hospital to tackle this kind of situation. There's also internally, the hospital has staircase which should be 2 meters wide for efficient evacuation. So when we say about fires or short circuit which would happen, so 2 meters is considered 2 meters wide is considered as an efficient evacuation just for a purpose where stretcher movement of the hospital would happen in a proper way, and even the people who are able to walk could be evacuated in a simple and a proper way. There are 2 water tanks to be installed in the hospital roof and 2 at the basement for firefighting. This basically is the fire measure which has to be taken into consideration while planning of the hospital. There are 2 water tanks which are placed on the roof, as well as 2 water tanks which has to be placed in the basement for firefighting. Areas of 500 square meter are to be divided for fire resistance wall for containment. There is a focus on preventive measures and adherence related to National Building Code NBC, which have been formulated and which have been governed by the Government of India. Sustainability practices inside the hospital construction is basically emphasizes on practicing of eco-friendly hospital buildings, use of green building materials and energy efficient technologies, so that electricity consumption is reduced to minimum level. There is a ECG rating which has been given to the hospitals, basically based on the carbon reductions procedures, as well as how exactly the building planning and structure has been taken into consideration. There is a LEED assessment which has been done based on how the sunlight is passed through different departments or different structures of the building of the hospital, and how energy efficient the hospital is. Implementation of waste management system to reduce the environmental impact, as hospital generates different amount of waste or different category of waste to be precise, which could harm the environment or which would be harmful for the environment. So this waste management plays an important role. Use of renewable energies like solar panels inside the hospitals for use of water heating, electricity supplies, use of the electric the lights which would be monitor, which would be motion sensors basically to reduce the electric consumptions, ensuring the compliance with environmental regulations and certifications, a committee to sustainable development for the long-term benefit. There has to be committee which has to be installed inside the hospital, which would be looking into how exactly the developments are been happening, what exactly the technology is been assigned, what exactly technology developments are happening in around the world, which could reduce the consumptions of electricity, which could actually evaluate the harmful effect to the environment part. So this actually a committee has to be taken into consideration where it could have a development for the long-term benefit. There's a planning of hospital equipments which has to be done. So cost allocation for the hospital projects depends on this basically planning of the hospital equipments. There are some equipments which are mechanical, electrical, which consist of 40% of the hospital project. Medical equipment alone accounts for 20% of the total project cost of the hospital. So strategic planning proves an important aspect for the efficient use of this basically resources inside the hospital. Additional points involved into it is the depth analysis of requirement of prioritizing the critical medical equipments, budget flexibility, need to be seen for unforeseen challenges and emerging technologies. So there are some emerging technologies related to some advanced development which has to be taken into consideration. Collaborations with other healthcare professionals for equipment selections and how exactly the equipment would function, what would be the space requirement, how exactly the functioning of that equipment would happen, what are the norms involved into it. Now, this classification of the hospital equipment, there are different categories of the hospital equipment. Physical plant basically is the plant which holds hospital O2 supply, appliances and refrigerator, etc. There are hospital furnitures involved into it and appliances like beds, stretchers, the patient's relative beds basically for recreations and other purposes. General purpose furnitures like office machines, furniture, crockery involved into it. Therapeutic and diagnostic equipments like surgical instruments, X-ray machines, CT scan machine, MRI machines, PET scan machines for that purpose, which are high-end, high-value ticket machines and their maintenance. Procurement challenges are basically balancing the interest of equipments involved into it. The manufacturers of this are extensive. Manufacturer's aim is to for extensive installation, but hospital, due to the size compliance or probably the space constraint, hospital has to have a customization for this. So manufacturers basically are able to give all services at once in one instrument, but looking at the space requirement, size constraint, the planning of that particular instrument installation has to be taken into consideration, and the availability of the service and usability of the services. Hospitals seek essential and efficient and economical equipments. Consultant role proves an optimal for selection of these equipments. If I install an equipment which is used by a hospital and consultant doesn't recommend that particular equipment, then the equipment placing inside the hospital proves as a vital aspect. The average cost of that equipment is also not incurred by this constraint. So avoiding consultant with their vital utilization proves a ideal aspect. Avoiding prestige driven purchase or probably high end purchase or a purchase which is luxurious for a healthcare delivery is important aspect in understanding the procurement of the equipment and what is the essentiality of it. To brief out this in a further aspect is there is an equipment which has been installed in some of the hospitals which is called as a PET scan. What is the requirement of PET scan? Is there oncology department inside the hospital? If the oncology department is inside the hospital, the requirement of PET scan increases. If the oncology department is not there, then installing a PET scan inside the hospital proves as a non-vital aspect for the hospital itself, as the doctors recommending the PET scan would be outside the hospital itself. So hospital won't be able to optimize the use of PET scan. Essential plans and equipments. Key component in general hospital. Basically, hospital has different appliances or what we call as equipments used inside the hospital. This could be physical or non-physical, like lifts, refrigerators, sterilizers, boilers, pumps, etc. There's some furnitures involved into it, like bed stretchers, wheelchairs, beds, bedside lockers, which are involved into it. General purpose furnitures and appliances like office machines, furnitures, crockery, the Xerox machines or some machines which would be like printers, PCs, laptops, diagnostics and therapeutic hospital appliances like surgical instruments, BP instruments, X-ray machines, etc. Emphasizing on efficient and necessary installation. We have to prioritize what exactly is the essential for the hospital per se and avoid the unnecessary complexity by focusing on efficiency and functionality. The planning for timely procurement and installation and maintenance of this machine has to be taken into consideration. by developing a detailed procurement plan aligned with the construction schedule itself and ensuring the efficient installation scheduling to the next to meet the project timelines. What happens is, hospital has been constructed, but procurement of the of some essential machines or some essential departments is pending. So hospital functioning can't start. So operational part of the hospitals gets delayed in planning and procurement of these machines, which results in increasing the value of the hospital or the cost of the hospital to threefold. Challenges in electronic biomedical equipment. This is a varied growth in biomedical equipment. Every time, due to evolution of the technologies currently, there is a constant upgradations of the machines which have been happening. The machine which would be procured 2 years prior and delivery is happening 1 year after the procurement, probably that machine would go into upgradation in near 3 years. Due to changes in the technologies, due to changes or requirement facilities available out there. So exponential growth basically in electronic biomedical equipments is happening. There are challenges which are very nasty, basically with introductions of some thorough assessments. There are government agencies which prove a pivotal role in assessing and providing the expensive equipments inside the hospital. So there has to be careful selections of what equipments we are planning, how the equipments are being procured, from are there some norms involved in it. So there are some medical devices which are being manufactured outside India, and there are some norms to bring that equipments inside India and install inside the India. So these norms, these government procedures, these government legacies or compliances basically take time, as well as the procurement take times. Along with the procurement, there is delivery challenges which happens out there. So considering all these factors into consideration, while planning a hospital structure, all these things has to be taken into consideration. What exactly biomedical equipments we are procuring, how we are procuring, what would be the ideal time, and how exactly this equipments would be placed, and what would be the depreciation factor involved into this medical equipment. Now, hospital circulation planning. There is hospital is a critical design basically. There are different structures, there are different departments, there are different integral motions happening inside the hospital. Hospital has different functionality, different sections, zones involved into it. Each section proves their own importance. The internal aspect of how exactly the flow of patient from one department to another, and how exactly the flow of patients from departments to ward, to emergency unit, to ICU happens, it proves an important aspect. So the routes of circulation of the patient's flow, attendance flow, and the utility flow has to be designed in a particular way so that there would be a seamless operations and accessible within and around the hospital. There is a simplifying patient, person, and visitor movement within the hospital. It has to be considered with well-designed circulation routes for streamlining the flow of the patients, staff, visitors, and reducing the confusion of how exactly the flow, overall experience of the patient, or patient's attendance as well as patients would be inside the hospital. Often, there is a linear circulation system stage for this project development, which is like patient coming inside the hospital and moving inside the hospital in a linear manner, in a same conducting manner. There won't be any focal points which would divert the patient's attention or probably attendance and could make the patient go into the places, creating a maze system inside the hospital. So this linear flow or circulation system has to be implied, simplified, and staged with allowing easier expansion and growth of the hospital. While considering this linear flow of the patients as well as the attendance, whenever we plan for future growth aspect of the hospital, this linear flow has to be taken into consideration while constructing the newer adjacent building or probably a newer model of the department. Internal and external circulations. There are different circulations involved into the hospital. Internal circulation, which we call as, is basically the corridors, stairways, lifts for the patients and the staff trafficking. These are considered basically on internal traffic flow. Basically, the importance is recognition of where exactly this area would be assigned to, how exactly the corridor would lead to another department. There would be proper communication, there would be proper signages. This basically enhances the patient experience as well as give a measure where hospital utility services could be identified by the patients in an easier way. While considering this internal circulation, there are some safety measures which has to be taken into consideration while transferring of the patients, where ramps, staircase and handrails has to be placed in consideration of because there are patients who would be coming and communicating through these areas. So ramps, railings, stairs has to be in a proper way. There would be a proper movement of stretchers. Walls would be damaged basically due to stretcher movements. So proper placing of handrails, proper placing of the barricades for stretchers to be adjacent to the walls and not hampering the walls. There has to be proper curved sections for the curvatures where it would not hamper the flow of stretcher movements and the wheelchair movements as well as the patient walking movement for that purpose. External circulations. This is a single entrance for vehicular traffic and clarity. This is addressed enormously by the external traffic rules. These are earmarking areas for various transportation and parking. Strategic points for hospital storage delivery and their packaging and storage are considered. So their vehicular movement has to be also considered. There is a consideration site organization for leveraging sloping slides for optimal planning areas. Evidence-based design. For every inpatient bed, plan for three out of patient spaces basically accommodating various vehicles. So considering the vehicular parking basically is very important. Where parking is involved, there would be parking adequate for number of beds assigned for a hospital. So patients' relative parking, doctors' parking, staff parking has to be segregated in such a way that it won't create any parking hazards or probably traffic inside the hospital. There has to be eco-friendly options for bicycles, cars and trucks as well as ambulance for that purpose. Implementation of smart parking solutions, this will enhance the overall experience inside the hospital. Currently, hospitals are being using hotel like valet services for parking to avoid misparking or wrong parking arrangements inside the hospital, as well as proving the efficiency of how exactly the managing of parking system happen inside the hospital. Considering this, all parking spaces and differently able parking and patients, visitor access points, and how exactly they would be able to access the corridors of hospitals with a slope, with trench, or probably by not using the staircase for that purpose is the large aspect where people have to plan out while structuring the hospital. Landscaping basically proves a vital aspect as the look and feel of hospital basically influences the patient's behavior towards the hospital, understanding of the hospital, and also proves as a marketing tool to capture maximum patients with look and feel. Attractive grounds landscaping proves a potential positive influence to the psychological well-being of the patients, visitors, as well as staff. There is an optimal site orientation for natural light exposure in the patient room. There's a strategic placement of structures to prevent the prevailing winds from affecting the natural ventilation.